The test of the morality of a society is what it does for its children. Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
This is Ground Truthing, a Westchester Children's Association podcast. Welcome to our third episode of Ground Truthing, a Westchester Children's Association podcast where we offer policy insights from the ground up. In our first season of Ground Truthing, we will discuss what is needed to create positive learning environments for children throughout Westchester County. For the month of March, we are joined by Cheryl Hunter Grant. Ms. Hunter Grant is a lifelong child advocate who has worked in the field of maternal, child, and family services for more than 35 years. Cheryl earned a Master's of Social Work degree from Hunter College School of Social Work in New York City and a Bachelor's of Arts degree from Simmons College in Boston, Massachusetts. Presently, she serves as the Executive Director of the Lower Hudson Valley Perinatal Network and Vice President of Perinatal Programs for the Children's Health and Research Foundation, the parent company of the Lower Hudson Valley Perinatal Network. Through advocacy and education, with a life course perspective, the Lower Hudson Valley Perinatal Network works with its partners to achieve health equity in birth outcomes, striving to ensure all babies within the region are born healthy. Here is my interview with Cheryl Hunter Grant. We're just going to have you introduce yourself.
I'm Cheryl Hunter Grant, Executive Director of the Lower Hudson Valley Perinatal Network.
Okay, and tell us a little bit about the work that the Perinatal Network does here in Westchester County in particular.
We are an organization who is looking to ensure that all babies are born healthy and well. And we do that by ensuring that there are good systems in place for women to access prenatal care. And we also have to look at addressing issues before a woman becomes pregnant, ensuring that she's healthy and well, because the science tells us some of the reason some babies are not born healthy and well are because moms are sicker before they come into pregnancy. For example, women of color have higher rates of early onsets of chronic disease that compromises pregnancy sometimes. So that if we go back upstream and ensure people are well from cradle to childbearing years and beyond, then we increase the likelihood that all babies are born healthy and well. So we do things on a systems level, looking to change policy, change practice, change community norms to help support health and wellness. And we also provide some services, workshops to individuals who are in the childbearing age, whether it's from a before pregnancy state or during their pregnancy.
You told us a little bit about some of the work that you're doing throughout the county. When it comes to data, because not only at Westchester Children's Association, but certainly with the GPS for Kids, we talk a lot about numbers and how the numbers guide us to some of the areas that we want to focus on, but then also some of the challenging areas. So what are some of the data points or the numbers that you're constantly looking at here for your work?
For our work, a lot with metrics are around rates of prematurity, low birth weight, infant and maternal mortality. Those are at the heart of the data that we look at. And we find that consistently there's disparity in that outcome. Here in Westchester, because we've got the extremes of wealth and poverty, sometimes the data is masked when we just look at it as a countywide data, although countywide prematurity rates are higher than what March of Dimes and the Healthy People 2020 want for the nation. But then when we look at that even further and break it down either by zip codes, by race and ethnicity, we see very different pictures too. And consistently, those listed as Black in the data have higher rates of these outcomes, prematurity, low birth weight, infant mortality. So that's a lot of what drives us, because there's no biological reason for that. And we're really trying to drill down on what some of those other issues are that contribute to that. For at least for prematurity, about 50% of premature births are based on modifiable behaviors.
And so thinking about that, knowing the numbers that definitely stand out, but also knowing that there's a little bit of education as to what the numbers in this county look like as opposed to the issue more generally. What are some of the tools that you utilize in your work to be able to convey the message uniquely and acutely to Westchester County?
So we're doing a number of different things. One, in trying to get a better sense on more of what's behind the data, because you can see that African Americans, for example, have poorer birth outcomes, but why? And the literature tells us there are some social determinants of health, and there's confluence of different disease entities, whether it's obesity, diabetes, and the like. But even when we look at some of the data for those risk factors, you see that it's evenly spread almost between those who have normal, usual weight and full-term births, as do the low birth weight and premature births. So we're trying to figure out a little bit more and drill down, because until we can find out what's driving this, you really can't be effective in delivering solutions. So we're doing work with Sarah Lawrence College, for example, to try to conduct some community focus groups and community surveys to get the community's perspective of what's happening. Because so often they're aware of situations and they may even understand why, and it takes the data decades to catch up. So we're working with them to try to get some of that. We're doing some work with Westchester Children's Association as they're looking and working in the same communities that we're working in and drilling down, trying to get more of the story behind the numbers, and working with other partners to synthesize all of this, to have the conversations, to look at what best practices exist, and then strive to bring that to the community.
And so in being able to work with different organizations and being able to survey residents of Westchester County, let's first talk about what's working when it comes to the issues that matter to you and your organization, the work that you do. What are some of the bright spots? What are we seeing that works well here in Westchester County?
One of the things that I think, and I'm not sure if the community would agree with it from this same perspective, but one of the things that I think is working well in Westchester is the fact that there are a number of organizations that are targeting same neighborhoods, same populations, that are recognizing the value in coming together to align our efforts to achieve a common goal. You know, maybe different angles of that same thing, but at the end of the day, all of us are looking to ensure that the community is able to thrive to their full potential. So having organizations recognize the importance of coming together and aligning our efforts and not just seeing each other as competitor, but trying to support communities differently, I think is a bright spot and something that's a success. And the only reason I'm saying that, I don't know if the community sees that, ultimately if we're doing our job right in that effort, they won't notice that. They'll just know that they're in a better place to reach their full potential, so that they wouldn't come out and say it like that.
And I want to give you an opportunity to talk about some of the collective impact work that you have been doing here in the county and also in Rockland, as I understand. Yes. So tell us a little more about that.
So our collective impact coalition is called Our Babies, Our Future. Our coalition named it that because we're really not just addressing pregnancy at that moment, but looking at it over life course and addressing issues that contribute to babies being born healthy and well. And we have aligned a number of partners who share a common goal, whether that goal is to reduce rates of diabetes for women who are of childbearing age or those that are in early childhood, or prenatal care providers and the like, so that we can determine what are the preconditions that need to be put in place in communities for women to achieve that ultimate goal, that long-term outcome that we have, that babies are born healthy and well without any racial and ethnic disparity. We are embarking on a new angle for it because that's a huge initiative. And as you know, in working collective impact, it really is important to try to hone in on something. We created a roadmap, our theory of change roadmap, that really covers the breadth of what's necessary, at least the breadth as we saw it for that point in time, that's necessary to get to that desired end, to keep people engaged, to demonstrate some changes, get some early wins. We've got to really try to narrow in on how we focus that. We were spending some time trying to get more of our partners to incorporate what we call preconception wellness into their routine services as one way of aligning and getting more narrow. And now we're going to embark on a project called Healthy Lifestyle Zones, where we're getting even more narrow, targeting a specific neighborhood inside of a municipality and aligning organizations so that the healthy choice is the easy choice for the community. And in doing that, we expect to ultimately see some improvement in birth outcomes, because if women are going into pregnancy more healthy, at a better optimal weight, with less diabetes, or it being more controlled, with lower rates of hypertension and heart disease, or it's better controlled before pregnancy, and if men are healthy and well, because they contribute to pregnancy, we forget that sometime in maternal child health, but as that's occurring, then we will see better outcomes in birth and a number of other issues. But that's going to mean for people to have the healthy choice be the easy choice, it's not just getting them primary care or to the doctor, it's also making sure they've got adequate housing and sufficient food and an income and all those things. So it's getting these types of partners together in alignment to achieve the goal.
And let's stay there for a little bit. I like this making the healthy choice the easy choice. First, I would like just kind of how that catchphrase came along and why you see it as something that would resonate with anyone from the county listening to us right now.
We stole it from I don't know who, because it's out there a lot. So it's not a phrase that we picked up. It would have been nice for us to come up and be that innovative, but it is.
Sharing is caring,
that's
right?
That's it. But a lot of the movements around improving health, that's a catchphrase that's used. And the thing that I believe will resonate with the county in doing this work is that everyone's bottom line will be impacted by people being healthy, whether it's the county budget from its bottom line, and whether it's business community and their bottom line from their employees' perspective, and the business community can even be nonprofit organizations, because many times the staff at nonprofits and other businesses, whether it's hospitals, whether it's the schools or the universities, they represent folks from the communities that we are particularly interested in. And if that community is healthy, it's going to have an impact on bottom line for businesses. It's also going to have an impact on businesses who either cover their own health care costs or are paying for health insurance, that if their employees are healthier, that's going to impact positively their bottom line. For the school system, if kids are healthy, if their parents are healthy, then they're going to come to school better prepared to learn, and parents will be able to support and encourage them. So everyone in the county benefits when the community is healthy, because we also are aware that health is in every policy, and that's another area we're trying to influence change in, that health is not just limited to the healthcare provider or the Department of Health, but there's health in transportation policies. Are there adequate bus routes and schedules that will allow people in communities that have poor health to get to their healthcare provider? Is there transportation that allows people in communities that have poor health, where income is a challenge, to get to places where they can get a living wage? So there's health in all policies. So that's why we're believing that there definitely would be a benefit to the county as a whole, and we'll be looking at ways to articulate that so everyone can see their role. And we started doing some of that in our collective impact model as well, because when we think about improving birth outcomes, people think of prenatal care providers and that's it. But there's implications for employers, there's implications for human service organizations and the like.
Definitely a concept to that. Collective impact embraces. Now, whether it's moving to a model that really does try to embrace collective impact, or maybe even more generally speaking, community and the value of community, what are some of the challenges that you've experienced in trying to not only spearhead such a community effort, but then also what are the challenges when it comes to whether it's data, whether it's outreach or communication, not only to individuals, but to organizations, to get these healthy spaces together and get that message out? What are some of the things that you're still struggling with?
The biggest challenge, quite honestly, is not having adequate resources, because we're grant funded primarily. And we've got a grant that supports this work, but there are 500 other activities that have to happen in that grant. So it makes it more challenging to have the dedicated time for this particular aspect of the work that we're doing. And it's important and it's labor intensive. So that right off the bat. With that out of the way, some of the other challenges are really getting everyone aligned and able to think out of the box, because with limited resources and with us all targeting similar communities, we really have to stretch our thinking to see how we can align with each other differently to get to each respective end goal as well as this collective mission. And that can be challenging sometimes if others are addressing their funders and what has to happen, and that complicates things, because sometimes the way to get that work done is different than what you put on paper or different than the way the funder was envisioning, but it's critical for us getting to that end. Another challenge is just being able to dedicate time to get the community connected and involved. The reality is that in organizations, we work Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and communities, they're working Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. So right out the gate, we're going to be out of alignment. And how we're asking people to take off from their job to come and do work with us, we've got to really flip that script and see if we're willing to take off from our job to come and meet with the community when they're available, when it's more conducive to their life. And that's a challenge and a battle that we struggle with and are striving to do what's right, but it's a challenge.
Definitely a challenge, definitely a real challenge that I think any of us, especially working on behalf of children and families, constantly come up against. But we still like to believe that there is good work to be done and that can be done. So as we start to wrap up, first, I want to think a little bit more specifically about some of the initiatives for GPS for Kids. So keeping children in positive school environments, increasing race equity, yes, and improving youth-adult relationships. So those are the things that the GPS model has taken up. So in what ways do you see some of what GPS is doing being able to help some of the work that you are undertaking and vice versa?
So I definitely think there's synergy among and between those. One, because some of the communities that GPS for Kids is looking at are also the communities that we are interested in as well. So for that reason, there's alignment. One of the ways we think about keeping children in positive learning environments, for example, is one from the early end of that spectrum, kids in preschool, in early childhood settings, those that are born full term and usual birth weight will go in with fewer obstacles than those children born premature or low birth weight. So there's alignment there because our goal is to reduce those. There's alignment further down the spectrum because teen pregnancy will derail kids from being in positive learning environments. So addressing those types of issues from a preconception standpoint and being a partner and aligning also gives us reason to intersect. Similarly, around race equity, our overarching desire is to ensure that babies are born healthy. We also have built into our mission the desire to ensure that there is equity in those birth outcomes. And the same factors that contribute to poor birth outcomes in certain populations are tied to race equity and issues of racism and other things. And those are deep, entrenched issues in our society, and not any different than Westchester because it's part of a national issue. And for that reason, if we are banding together in a goal to undo racism, to achieve race equity, we will be more likely to be successful than if we're each individually trying to address it and crack that. And then finally, around improving youth and adult relationships, whether we're talking about teen pregnancy issues and ensuring that teens are in a place where they will have an adult, whether it's ideally their parent, but if not other adults in their environment that they can talk to and discuss what their concerns and issues and fears and desires are, that also enhances what we're doing. And certainly as adults are in better relationship with youth, if they're of the age and still in childbearing state, reducing stress because of the poor parent-child or adult-youth relationship would be advantageous to our goal as well. So all three of them, again, that's some of where I was talking about with thinking out of the box on how we make an align that I think is so critical. And as leaders, I would say we need to challenge ourselves to figure out how it's all aligned, especially if we're in the same community dealing with the same population, because people are multifaceted. And if we're all dealing with that same people, then we've got to work out how it aligns. As I firmly believe, if we can't figure out how it all aligns, then we have absolutely no right to think that the community will figure it out to get their needs met. And we shouldn't put that burden on them.
I really like that last piece in particular. And a part of that, though, is knowing what we do well or what fights we're willing to take up. So you've spoken a lot about the work that's done here, but I'd like to give you a chance to really shout yourself out. What is coming down the pike? What is the organization working on? And where does the organization feel that it can really play a critical role when it comes to some of these issues in Westchester County?
So some of the shout out, we're really good at organizing in organizations. So not community organizing like the folks on the ground do so well, and some of our partners, Community Voices Heard and others, but in bringing together organizations to have that conversation. And we are striving to also ensure in that organizing work, we're bringing in the community. So we are looking to begin this concept of healthy lifestyle zones in Yonkers, a certain neighborhood in the southwest corner of Yonkers, and layering on top of that best baby zone. So it's where the community can have that healthy choice be the easy choice overall, and then also have a particular focus on those things that can help ensure that babies are born healthy and well in that. So we're excited about that possibility, the possibility of getting that off the ground by the fall of this year. We also sponsor an annual regional perinatal forum conference that's on November 15th of this year, an eco-biosocial approach to perinatal health, I believe is the topic for this year. And this gives us an opportunity to help get people informed and aware and educated. And we've got someone from Dr. Maybank out of City Department of Health, Health Equity Unit coming and focusing on that. We're looking at Child Trends, a representative from Child Trends, talking about incarcerated mothers and its impact on children. So we bring together a diverse group of organizations, health providers, as well as human service providers, policymakers, so that they can all be informed on these things and join us in the effort to move forward.
You've already mentioned a few organizations that you partner with, Community Voices Heard, you mentioned WCA, you mentioned Sarah Lawrence, but are there organizations that maybe are on your wish list or organizations that you see doing good work and maybe, you know, you definitely see and observe the work that's being done but haven't quite gotten to cycle in with them or vice versa into the work?
Yes, and I'm saying that hesitantly because yes, but we're getting our wish list met in this creation of healthy lifestyle zone. There are lots of partners that we've known of and sat at tables with in Yonkers in particular, and now we'll have an opportunity to work even more closely. While we've been part of coalitions that the Yonkers Y has organized as part of their REACH grant and now their work that they're doing with Neprahan Center for Creating Healthy Schools and Community, we'll be working more closely with them and more directly around healthy lifestyle zones. So Neprahan Center, the Yonkers YMCA. We'll also be bringing in Yonkers CAP. Again, have been at many tables with them, their community action program. And now we'll get to work more directly with them. And then doing some work differently with Hudson River Healthcare and some of the other health providers. And if I had another minute, I could probably think of some others that would either be on the wish list still or that we're getting ready to work with soon.
We know that there's amazing work that's always being done in Yonkers, so it's encouraging to hear that there are partners on the way and up and coming in that area. And so, Cheryl, as we close, because I don't want to take up too much of your time, I appreciate it. Other thoughts about working and working in Westchester County and what your hope is, even outside of your organization, for what the county and those working in the county and living in the county can do together?
My hope would be that we would all be committed and respect humanity no matter what shape, size, color it comes in. It's real discouraging these days, especially now, at seeing the racial divide getting stronger in our nation, led by our administration that appears to be promoting the divide more than the coming together. So my vision for Westchester would be that we would be a leader in showing how communities can come together. We've got a perfect opportunity because of our extremes of wealth and poverty to show how, as a county, we are united in our desire to ensure that every baby is born healthy, every child gets to succeed and reach their full potential, that every family has an opportunity to be strengthened, and that you can live your life in dignity, regardless of economic status, regardless of race and ethnicity. So that would be my vision, that we would take advantage of opportunities because of the strong voice of the nonprofit in this county, as well as commitment on various government levels to really come together to make a difference, to be a model for what the nation can be.
Thank you so much, Cheryl.
You're welcome.
Again, we thank Cheryl for joining us on the latest episode of Ground Truthing. We are eager to work with her and others to find innovative solutions to our largest challenges. For more information about the Lower Hudson Valley Perinatal Network, visit www.lhvpn.net. Again, that's www.lhvpn.net. Thank you again for tuning in to Episode 3 of Ground Truthing. Join us next month as we chat with Danny Bernstein, Executive Director of Backyard Sports Cares. We will discuss with Danny the importance of sport for play and engaging children in opportunities to step outside their social, cultural, and economic environments. Ground Truthing is a Westchester Children's Association podcast. For more information about our guests, our topics, or any of the resources shared, head over to wca4kids.org or on our SoundCloud account for the Ground Truthing podcast. You can follow along with the conversation on Twitter at wca4kids using hashtag WCA podcast. Thank you for listening.